personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear.
This week on Tomboy T-Rod, we are going to start the first of our two-part Best of T-Rod specials, where we take a look back at some of our awesomest guests that have graced the T-Rod carpet.
Yep, the ones that went through so much pain on our show.
Yes, the one we call Tomboy T-Rod. And mind you, it's not pronounced tirade or tirade, but T-Rod, the way we like to say it, on this no-holds-barred fortnightly podcast with a whole load of geek, drama and humor thrown into every episode.
Yes, and we are Asia's biggest and only all-female English comedy chat podcast. You're right, we are 50 Shades of Awesome, all that, and a bag of chips and more.
That's right, and we're here in the Tomboy T-Rod time machine, where we're skimming through time to pick out the best of the best from the 50 so episodes we've done so far.
Man, this hell of a lot of episodes. How did you even last that long?
Viagra and lots of crystal meth. That's right, the fake ones. Now buckle up, Raven. I'm about to push this start button on the show. Are you ready?
Yeah, Captain.
All right.
Three, two, one. Let's go!
Have as our first victim, guest.
Well, she's hot, sexy, and gets to travel all around the world hosting television shows.
Oh, I know. Is it Mishka, the talking Siberian husky? I mean, she speaks so well, she probably has her own TV show.
Jeez, of course not. I'm talking about a human being, not a dog.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm talking about Anita Kapoor, you idiot!
Oh yeah, right. Anita Kapoor!
Yay! It's Anita Kapoor! Yay! Hello everyone! Guys,
hello.
I am very, very honored to be part of the T-Rod.
Yes, not tirade.
Not tirade, right?
Yeah, because that's the way they like to say it.
T-Rod.
But I guess it's just the way that the word is spelt. But whatever the hell, I'm happy to be with you guys. I've just gotten off a plane. Uh-huh. And we're on our way again.
Yes, because we all of us are going to Myanmar this time to shoot a very exciting show, aren't we,
yes,
Anita?
Yes, we are. You guys are packed and ready, but I have to basically take the clothes that I haven't washed after my last week, which I spent, as you guys know, in Mumbai. So who's doing my laundry?
I thought it was going to be those people. You didn't leave your laundry with the guys in Mumbai?
Dhobi?
Yeah.
Clearly.
I'm airing my dirty laundry on this show.
I think we need to change the name of the show that we're going to do in Myanmar. We need to change it to, I don't know, The Laundry Ladies or something.
The Laundry Ladies.
Now to get to my news highlight of the week, and first up is the Oscar results. What do you guys really think? Actually, it's not really about the results,
can I just
right?
I didn't see anything. I read the Oscars via Twitter because I was getting on a plane coming back.
Yeah.
So I read everything.
I didn't get to see it. I was just too busy doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Hello, but who was actually even airing it? there was nothing on the free channels.
No.
You watched it, Raven?
No, I actually did. I only watched bits and pieces online. Those video before they take the, yeah.
Okay, can I just say,
yes.
Jared Leto.
There were paparazzi waiting outside of my house this morning. I don't know if just to kind of celebrate the day with me or to find out who else was I was sleeping with.
Right.
But, you know, I got in, I think, at the of dawn last night, if you can say that. Maybe 6 o'clock, 5:30.
Did you stay at Guy's until 6?
Don't feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
Like, what didn't Ellen say that he was like the prettiest one sitting in the audience?
Yeah.
He is the prettiest one. But I bet you he has a really white, pasty body. He looks
and
like a
freaking white, pasty ass.
Yeah, who doesn't get a lot of sunshine, but yeah. He takes a lot of time with that hair.
Yeah, and no, it's that soft voice, you know, and I was thinking, oh my God.
Which could also be that of a serial killer.
Okay, the Dallas Killers Club. Okay.
Now, when I was 15 years old, I had a very important person in my life come to me and say, who's your hero? And I said, I don't know, I got to think about that. Give me a couple of weeks. I come back 2 weeks later, this person comes up and says, who's your hero? I said, I thought about it. You know who it is? I said, it's me in 10 years. So I turned 25 10 years later. That same person comes to me and goes, so are you a hero? And I was like, not even close. No. She said, why? I said, because my hero is me at 35. So you see, every day, every week, every month, and every year of my life, my hero's always 10 years away. I'm never going to be my hero. I'm not going to attain that. I know I'm not. And that's just fine with me because that keeps me with somebody to keep on chasing.
There was a lot of flack in the media about Matthew McConaughey's winning speech. There was this guy who actually thought, there was this reporter who actually said that, oh my God, McConaughey, you know, his acceptance speech was just so self-indulgent. How arrogant was he? And I thought, actually, for a guy who looks at himself as a hero and is chasing that dream, I didn't see anything wrong with it, but he pretty much got a lot of negative press about his speech.
I don't know, man. You know, I don't understand this whole process at all. Mm-hmm. You just won a friggin' Academy Award. I think
that's
you can
right.
fucking say whatever you like without everyone jumping on it and trying to interpret what you really meant. And none of these people even know this guy. It's like, remember when James Cameron won and
that's
he said,
right.
I'm the king of the world.
Right.
I'm sure he didn't mean that he was the king of the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, people jumped on him and thought, oh my God. And then he was like dirt for years, you know?
Yeah.
But I also think it has a lot to do with its perception and reality kind of converging. There may be people who actually do know this person.
Yeah.
And they might be an asshole. Who knows? And now they're an asshole in a tuxedo on stage
That's
with
right.
a gold statuette. Mm-hmm. But McConaughey has never come across to me. I mean, although, you know, it's not like we're best friends or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't both run topless down many beaches across the world. But you know,
you wish you did with Jared Leto in between.
Yes. Jared Leto with his hair flying behind, like one of those Timotei advertisements from the 70s.
Oh, no.
No, but I kind of feel like, you know, what the hell are we actually doing?
This is the thing. I mean, and Raven and I had a conversation about this before. Why does everybody take offense at almost everything these days?
Because everybody thinks they know everyone and they really don't.
And it's not that. Everybody thinks they have the right idea of what the world should be. A preconceived idea of when it is not just your world, it's everybody else's world. And all this self-indulgence, all this social media. I have a couple of friends in America and lately there was all this big brouhaha about, you know, should we call ourselves black? Should we call ourselves African-American? Should we call ourselves the N-word? Now you cannot say the N-word, but then now some people think the black word is also offensive. And then some people think the African-American word, which is a politically correct term, is now also pretty offensive.
friends, we've come to our second guest. And she's Malaysia's favorite comedian.
Is that me?
I think you're stretching it there a little too far, Persis. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Joanne Kam.
Oh, yeah.
Going by her stage moniker, Joanne Kam Popo, Joanne is one of the funniest and best loved comedian on the Malaysian stage with her girl power and acid tongue brand of humor. Since her big break in the legendary Boom Boom Room on both sides of the causeway, she has established herself as a comic with attitude and character, complete with fabulous costumes. For the past decade, she has been pushing the comedy envelope while being actively involved in the local television, theatre and standout scene.
And we were privileged this year to catch up with her Supercam 3 show in Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, and have her on the show last year. And boy, did things get really wet around here.
Italian man once a long time ago in Jangkat, because my girlfriend said everything like spaghetti, I so happy lah. So I got already, I bring back, I buka-buka sekali macaroni. Meatballs also don't have. How like that? Girls, if it's macaroni, please give 50 ringgit, ask him take taxi, go home. What are you going to do? You know, seriously, cannot feel anything when don't bother. Okay, do we have any Frenchmen in the house? Frenchmen? Frenchy-poo? Where the Frenchy-poo? Ooh, hello Frenchmen. You know the Frenchmen, they don't have to do anything. Huh? They don't even have to touch you, you know. They talk you down there water fountain already. Serious, my one like Johor flooding like that. If he touch me, there'll be tsunami. Wait. Oh, that's why. Huh? Do we have any Filipino men around here? Filipino? Filipino? Oh, they're all working. Okay.
It's been a month since the 50 Shades of Grey trailer has been released. What do you guys think?
Okay. I'm not a fan of the book.
High five.
Because,
high five, yeah, man.
But I did buy it because another friend of mine was so insistent that I bought it. And, you know, she's like so gaga over it.
Yeah.
And I read till chapter 3 or 4 and then I got bored. Because you must understand, in our age, we have Sidney Sheldon.
Yes! Yay!
And Harold Robbins. Tell you. Exactly. And their characters do hell of a lot more than this grey fella, you know?
So this is just an interview for the newspaper. I just have a couple of questions.
Mr. Grey will see you now.
What was he like?
He was polite, intense, smart, really intimidating.
I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Enlighten me then.
Perhaps it's for this new generation, the toilet generation that is growing up.
I thought
up,
you said wants... toilet generation.
No, twilight, okay. Twilight, you know, Breaking Dawn, Twilight, yes. Vampire, werewolf. So if you cater to that, those type of, I mean, the people who would buy the kind of books. Mm. And if you notice, the heroine is always someone plain.
Yes. Mm.
It's never this gorgeous diva who's like a superstar or singer. She's plain. Yeah. I mean, she's if she was in Asia, she would be like an alien. Yeah. You know, like someone working in the, I don't know,
in the
very
in
studious.
The, in the pao shop or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Normal. And and I guess that's why the book, just exactly like Twilight and Breaking Dawn, works so well, because we girls are always insecure about our
yeah
books.
And it's a bit, you know, it was and fan fiction, right?
Yeah,
so it was
yeah
Twilight
and
fan fiction.
The guys are like super hot and super gorgeous. I mean, honestly, if you look at Bella and you look at Robert Pattinson, everybody's like, oh my god, Bella's so ugly. But that's the whole appeal, the fact that a guy this hot could fall for a girl this simple. Yeah. And it is the same concept mm-hmm. with 50 Shades of Grey. The only thing is, because it is made for the older girls, yeah. the older generation mm-hmm. that has finished your 4 to 5 books on the vampire and werewolf series, now they want something yeah. more.
I think the girl is okay, but I think the guy is pretty lame, because I think he should just appear on the next season of Silicon Valley and have bondage sex with a computer mouse or something. Seriously. Yeah. He doesn't even look like Christian Grey.
Not at all.
I thought they were going to cast Ian Somerhalder from Vampire Diaries, because I yep. think he's so much better, right? Yeah.
A lot of people had that. But then again, if you look at Hollywood, they never really cast the people that we yeah. want. I mean, look at Batman, Ben Affleck. I mean, honestly. Oh, and even God. When we talk about Interview with a Vampire, a lot of people say Tom Cruise, really, Tom Cruise. Like, even the author didn't want Tom Cruise, you know? I always believe in giving movie the chance until it's really bad. Then you're like, why? Like, for example, Transformer 4, why? Why, you know?
Why?
Even, what do you call this? Yeah, even Marky Mark couldn't save it, you know, why?
Marky Mark, you still remember him as Marky Mark?
Yes, he will forever be Marky Mark. I mean, he could play a better Christian Grey, I presume.
So, Raven, what do you think? I mean, you've been pretty mum about this whole thing. And have you read the book?
I tried reading it, but I only got past, like, the first chapter. I was bored. Come on. We all brought up, like, you know, more in the 90s. We were growing up in school reading books under our tables. Yeah, scandalous yeah. books under yeah. our table as our teacher talk, like, you know, teach us boring chemistry lessons.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you grow up reading scandalous stuff, and then you read this, and you see the trailer. I was like, it's so mild. I don't get excited at all. I mean, and then, I don't know, because, like, I was watching one of the videos for ABC. They were introducing the trailer.
Yeah.
With the actors, and they cut off the last 5 seconds. I was like, oh my God.
And then, so the only best
part.
It was
just too ugly. You really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Oh yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Oh yeah, you really got me so. You got me so I can't sleep at night. You really got me. You really got me. You really got me.
Hi. Some guests in this first part of the Best of T-Rod compilation episode.
And who is it?
It's Cheryl Chana.
Woohoo!
Yes, who is possibly Singapore's funniest woman, and she's taking Asia by storm with her razor-sharp wit and spot-on comic timing. Now, we're big fans of Cheryl's no-holds-barred comedy and her gung-ho attitude. She's a regular on the local stand-up comedy circuit here in Singapore, and she's determined to pursue her passion in an industry where female comedians, let alone Asian female ones, are few and far between. Her drive to entertain has taken her beyond the shores of Singapore and overseas, including in Malaysia, where she was part of the Supercom 3 show, where we also managed to catch up with her as well.
Oh, that was a fun episode! Full of snakes, though. But still a fun episode!
Yeah. You'll see what we mean when you listen to this.
Yes, I mean, they say that Caucasian people are racist, but that's not true. That's not true. And I'll leave you with it. That's not true. Indian people are the most racist people around the world. They are. Because when I went back to my village in India, all my relatives had given English names to their dogs. Jimmy? Tommy? Antoine?
Who wants to have a dog that has an Asian name?
Yeah,
you know, I've seen that. You know,
it's really terrible. It's like when Rishi picked up the puppy for me. Yeah. The only reason she was the only one left among all her siblings was because she was a brown dog.
Oh,
you know, you know, I was like, shit, I can't. Like,
racist.
I think Rishi was thinking, like, I can't let another brown dog go through this. And he picked up, like. You know,
what's her name?
Her name is I've given her an Indian name. You see, there you go. Like, it's her name is Meaty. which is like sweet in Hindi.
Okay, nice.
But ladies
and gentlemen around the world listening to this podcast, if you want to, you know, visit the world's first Asian named dog, it's called Sharul. She's got one, you know.
Yeah.
World's first, let me tell you.
Obviously, my Chinese friends, right, when they come in, they're like, oh, you name her Meaty. Like, oh, she's so skinny. What do you mean she's Meaty? I'm like, no, you're really fucked up. Like, I'm like, no, you got to understand it.
So, because she's got no class, you know. She's not Percy or Bingo. About, you know, having a complex, you know, the Indian mother complex. I remember that you had a couple of jokes on stage, and you even wrote something on a blog about the Indian mother complex, and there's a lot of that running in the DNA of your jokes and you know, off stage and on. I think it's really funny, and I wanted to talk to you about it.
I just think that there's a general flaw in the way certain cultures bring up their kids, and it's just that they don't know any better. And what happens is that it kind of sticks with you, but you've grown up like hearing really odd stuff, and you can't, when you ask them, they don't want to give you a reasoning for it. Like, why did you say that? No, just shut up and listen to me. So, you know, like when I was writing jokes, it's like, you know, I want to write about things that never made sense to me, because I know there are other women going like, oh, I feel retarded. Like, why am I doing this shit? You know? And I said, I'm going to bring it out, and I want to connect with these women out there who feel the same, like Asian women. I want them to know that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like, you know, I know once my mom told me like I just lifted my ass and farted once. I mean, many times, like not once, but many times. And my mom's like, oh my God, who's going to marry you like that? Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I'm like, dude, I'm going to fart into his mouth if I get married to him. Like, that's what I'm going to do when he's sleeping. I'm going to sit on his face. That's what I'm going to do. You know, that's the kind
of... like, what can you do? Put a huge, big band-aid on your ass before you let one go or what? I mean,
I'll fart into an air balloon or something. Like.
But I also think it's an Asian mother thing, isn't it? It's not just Indians. I think Chinese moms also have their own shit going on, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, controlling their daughters and stuff, you know, like, oh, you better listen to me, if not, I'm going to throw you out in the garbage, you know, you're the girl, I'm going to throw you out if you don't do this, you know.
Oh, in my case of my mom, she threatens me by, well, that's probably not, I'm an adult, but when I was a kid, she always threatened me, like, if I don't behave myself, I'll be, you know, chopped out and cooked in curry. And then later I found out there was a real curry murder.
There was a real curry murder.
For the longest time, I thought it was like he's joking. That's like, hilarious. You know, I didn't really think, like, oh yeah, you don't behave, I will catch you, I'll throw in a pot, I'll cut you out, and you will be cooked in curry. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
I think it was like the whole gamut. It's the, you know, I'll stick you and send you to the police, or I will send you to work in a factory. It was all these horrible threats, you know. I mean, like, wow, I didn't know, like, growing up, you would think that you grew up in Sicily with the mafia or something, because,
it's really odd, because, and the thing is that it's just that they don't know better, right? It's because they've grown up with the same shit, and they're just on repeat mode. They think that it works.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's about, like, you know, it's always like, it is what it is. Do not question me, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And speaking about kids, you have a kid yourself, right?
Huh? No! No!
You don't?
No, I don't have a kid. That's my sister's kid. Oh,
because I saw you posing a lot on like with babies and stuff. I said, "Wow, she's doing it all."
No, dude, I've just
it was wrong. Yeah, okay.
It's all right. It's all
my
right.
Bad.
Do I look fat? Is that what it is? Just tell me first. Tell me if I look fat versus...
But it's a great publicity stunt though, Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you. It's a great publicity
stunt. What? It helps me in no way. Like, guys don't hit on me anymore. It's just like my life is going down the fucking drain. They probably think I have a baby now. Like, oh shit, that's what it is.
Look, that's the only way to get guys to pay attention to you, okay? Just borrow somebody's baby and then, you know, go around town in a buggy with it, you know, like...
Dude, fuck.
Would you like to date me, you know?
Really?
I'm sure they'll be buying you beers.
Mommy material, yeah.
like Auntie Sunita, she's a bit crazy. She's crack. When I was going to St. Margaret's and Convent School, she came to me and was like, "You're going to a convent school. You're going to a convent school. Make sure you don't become lesbian. Make sure you don't become lesbian. But if you do, make sure she's Indian."
And we're backstage here with one of Singapore's funniest comedians, Shah Rukh Khanna.
Yay!
Awesome.
Okay, before we go on stage and fall flat on our faces, Chris and I decided that we are going to go on stage after.
We're just gonna ruin it for you.
Because we had to be that thick skin, you know, to go out on stage after a professional comedian to like make a fool of ourselves to do our Tomboy T-Rod act here.
If it ever gets off.
Yeah, if it ever gets off. Let's just talk about Asian women in comedy. Like, so Sharon, what do you think the scene is like?
For women or yes. generally? I think and like any other job, this is a very male dominated industry, I would say. So it takes a lot for Asian women to jump up on stage because, you know, not known to come up there and be funny, right? That's how it's like the stigma. It's just like when you go up, Asian women tend to be very shy about their, you know, not all of them, but there is a certain percentage. They're very shy about their sexuality. They're very coy very, you know. Or at least around their friends, they're fine. But you know, it's not something for an Asian woman to jump up on stage. It's not in her nature to do that, or the way that she's been portrayed to be. A typical Asian woman would be sitting with her friends, and every time she would laugh. I've seen so many women, Asian women, they would cover their face when they laugh.
Yeah, why did they do that? Yeah. I don't understand.
It's not like they're worried about spreading some kind of germs.
Germs, or is it like they're scared that they've got such bad breath after eating that, you know, garlic tofu or something?
Yeah.
No, it's just the fact that, it's psychologically, I think it stems from the fact that they feel that, oh, am I allowed to laugh out this loud?
Or even have a voice, or, yeah.
You know, I think, and but you see, the weird thing is, individually, all these women are very, very successful in their own careers, and they know exactly what they want. They are very headstrong. But the moment they come into a group setting and to come up on stage, there's a phobia. Because it's not normal. It's not a normal thing to do.
Mm.
And plus to go up on stage and then make a claim that you're funny, it's a lot to live up to.
It is. There's always this possibility that when you fall flat on your face, how do you pick yourself up, you know, dust the dust off your shoulders and get back up on the horse, right? It's a bit daunting, I think, for a lot of Asian women to do that.
And also, like, being on stage, for me, right, it feels like being naked on stage. It's like,
a lot of people say that. It is.
Yeah, it's like hanging out there with your tits and your ass.
Yes, like hanging out, like, my vagina hanging out to the wall. Hey, look at me. I'm trying to date everybody in the room.
Yeah, sorry, Raven, you got two sexual organs, so you'll be having two sexual organs on display on stage.
Yeah, so I'm a bit confused, but
it is literally like it's like showing a room full of men and women your stretch marks.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, and telling them that, you know what, I have these stretch marks behind my back, and I just want to let you guys know that they are there. So for women, it is more. I feel it's difficult because A. The men are judging you, right?
Yeah.
B, the women are judging their men.
Yep.
And watching their men judge you.
And then and the men doing it themselves as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's so much happening there. And when you go up there, in a minute, you have to let them know that it's not about the way I look, it's about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of women tend to fall back on sex jokes.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when you see male comedians, it's not just about talking about their dicks and their penises and stuff, but they also talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
But I notice when it comes to women, right, they really take the mickey out of their own sexuality. Do you think there's a reason for that?
Yeah. Because, you see, when you first start out, when generally people do start out doing comedy, whether they're male or female, it's generally easier to sort of get the audience to laugh with sex jokes. I don't think sex jokes are easy, but they're easier to sort of write because that they can get an immediate response from the audience. But you can't do them more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. She tells me after that it's just gonna yeah.
Yes. So after 5 minutes, the audience is like, okay, we get the point. We get the point.
Yeah.
Move on, you know. And that's when, as a comedian, you realize that shit, I gotta write material that is my truth. It's about who I am. And how was it when I was growing up? What I like, what I don't like, observations.
Mm-hmm.
And and you know, yeah, people should acknowledge that, like, I'm a woman. But and then, you know, move on and talk about probably the nationality, talk about other stuff. And it tends to happen a lot, but it's a process. Some comedians get stuck in the process of doing sex jokes. Some of them go a little bit higher and dig deeper in themselves and say that, now I want to talk about myself.
Yeah.
But the problem with Asian comedy and women in Asian comedy is that if you guys go for a notice, if you see any Asian female comedians on TV in India, or like maybe even Chinese, or even Channel 5, if you saw, many of the comedians were female, were fat.
Yes, Lydia Sum, you know, was a very famous one, right? Living with Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just want you to try and tell us if you like it.
But if I really like it, and I cannot afford to buy it, why should I try? How much?
Never mind. No need to try. Thank you.
At the end of the day, whether you're a man or a woman, it all boils down to being fat.
That's right.
If you see yourself as a female comedian, then you'll always treat yourself as a female comedian.
Yeah.
But if you treat yourself as a stand-up comedian, then they'll always watch you. It's a stand-up comedy act. Then they won't care if it's a man or woman, right?
Yes.
True.
Because I think it's at the end of the day, it's all about, are you funny or not?
Yes. Because maybe I see myself, I don't see myself as a woman or a man anymore. I just see myself as a person.
Yeah, just a funny person. Cool. Yeah. So.
See, Persis, we should just stay on being 50-50. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
So.
We are the people of the world. We are not a man. A
global,
woman.
Global community. Oh, thanks a lot. Okay, yeah. I'm sure Michael Jackson might be rolling in his brain.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, I wish it's more comfortable. Like, I'm still struggling to keep on this python.
I know, this half a dick thing isn't working for me.
So what? It's time for my act. Hey, well, listen now, okay? Tomboy tarts or cookies or whatever you all call yourselves. It's been very fun, but we should do like some masala chai.
Hey, what? You mean you're not doing the double billing?
No, cannot. And you guys cannot. You all cannot.
What? But he promised us that, you know, we can.
Yeah. Okay. No close problem. For you. You know. Listen. Maybe sometime you can, but right now maybe your fingers are funnier than you.
Huh?
You know, so just type another blog on me. Type write another article on me. Okay, fuck. I need another article. Okay, Straight Sun is not covering me. You get it? You get it right? You get right? I need my chibai to be funny. I need to be out in the market.
What
I need to
chibai?
Be...
What the fuck? Hey, sister, no more ladus delivered to your house. Okay, sister. Finish.
No more
delivery. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, bitches.
Why does the word, like, screw you come to my mind right now?
You know why? Because Raven, she just fucking rear-ended us and it bloody hell hurts.
What?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this Indian accent. I'm going to do an AIDS test tomorrow. And, you know, because after watching Dallas Buyers Club and hanging out in this club, anything can happen to anyone, okay?
Yeah.
Freaking cheated us!
And do you think that the python looks really hungry right now at us?
What python?
Time
for dinner,
Tomboy.
Get ready. Oh my god!
Where the fuck? Look
at him!
The snake chairs from Sharu's chair! One of them is coiling around your leg!
Quick, Raven, whip out your hip-hop yoga music now!
Okay!
you calling me cobra? I am a zebra.
I am about the yo-yo yoga.
Get on the floor. Get into a coma.
You wrapping round my leg, that ain't cool. I be shaking you off, cause that be old school.
Scissoring snake, that's a middle and shake. Scissoring snake, that's a middle and shake.
Cause you be coming at ya like a serious butcher.
Set you on fire at your funeral party.
Yo, yo. Awesome guests for our Best of T-Rod compilation episode. But Charles snakes are a killer. Well, folks, if you enjoyed this episode of Tomboy T-Rod, don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and give us feedback. And of course, just an important announcement to all our listeners, we have moved out of Podomatic because, well, they screwed us up. Big time! So we'll no longer be posting our episodes there. Instead, we'll be hosting our shows on Blueberry on our brand new feed!
That's right! On 1st of September, unsubscribe to our current iTunes feed and delete the playlist, and then resubscribe to our new feed.
We'll be telling you how to do it all on our website at www.tomboy-tarts.com and of course, all over our social media.
Yes! Check it out on our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Tumblr, just like Tomboy Tarts! Oh yeah!
And if you have any inquiries about advertising, collaborating, or appearing on this podcast or our blog, drop us an email at tomboy.tarts@gmail.com or hello@tomboy-tarts.com.
We are everywhere!
Until the next 2 weeks, y'all.
Ciao!
And adios,
amigos!